The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Good morning. Let's pray together as we look into God's word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have the privilege of coming together this morning in all different ways to come and hear from you. Father, we ask that you would speak to us and speak into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Epiphany, I wonder what you think of when you think of the wise men in the Christmas story. Three kings from the Orient riding on camels, following a star. Exotic strangers dressed in fancy robes who turned up just after the shepherds in the stable. Maybe you think of small children with lopsided cardboard crowns, as we've seen many times in various nativity plays. These wise men or magi are a bit mysterious, don't you think? They're only mentioned in Matthew's gospel, and he doesn't tell us very many details at all about them. Much of what we know about them is from legend and tradition, which have grown up around them. We sing about we three kings, but the wise men were not actually described as kings, but magi, which means wise or learned men. So they would have been astronomers, or astrologers, philosophers, men highly respected for their wisdom. Matthew also doesn't tell us how many there were. We tend to think of three wise men because of the three gifts which they brought with them for Jesus. They came from the east, but we don't really know exactly where that was either. Scholars think maybe Persia or Babylon or Syria. But this isn't specific. They almost certainly didn't turn up at Jesus' birth with the shepherds in the stable. It says in verse 11 that they came to the house where the child was with his mother. So Jesus could have been a toddler then, up to 2 years of age. Even though we don't know very much about them, these mysterious visitors who came from far away and laid their gifts at the feet of Jesus have got a lot to teach us. They were true Jesus seekers. Above and beyond, fairly outrageous in their seeking of Jesus. So we're going to look at what we can learn from them and think about whether and how we are seeking after him. Why would we say that their seeking after Jesus was outrageous? For one thing, they were outsiders, unexpected and unlikely candidates to be seeking the Messiah, and seeking him enough to travel hundreds of miles to do so. The Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years for the arrival of the Messiah, but these Magi were not Jews. They were Gentiles and pagan astronomers, and yet God chose them to inaugurate the worship of the world's divine king. Luke tells us that the shepherds came and saw the baby and left, praising God. But Matthew tells us that the Magi bowed down and worshipped him. Jesus had come to be a rescuer, not just for the Jews, but for the people of the whole world. Secondly, the Magi had seen a special star. Many people have speculated that it might have been the convergence of Jupiter and Saturn, like we had just recently in December. Astronomers know that this same convergence happened around the time of Jesus' birth. Whatever the star was, the Magi were convinced that this meant that a king had been born, who was the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for, the one promised by God of old. How did they even know about this prophecy? It's likely that as seekers of knowledge and truth, they've read documents from other civilizations. Quite a few scholars talk about how it could well have been that they knew the Jewish prophecies from the time of the exile when the Israelites were in Babylon and Daniel and his friends were in the court of the Babylonian king. They were magi, or wise men, in that court. And yet, these magi, they probably weren't the only astronomers who could have seen the star and known what it meant. Like other astronomers, these magi could have seen the star, studied it, written about it, and waited to see what happened. That would have made their life a lot easier and a lot more comfortable. But they didn't. Somehow, in their hearts, they were so open to God that they knew this was not just a thing about which to say, oh, that's interesting. They knew that they had to go and keep on going for hundreds of miles until they found this most special child promised by God. And not only find him, but worship him. And so these foreign Gentile magi are the first people in the New Testament who are explicitly described as worshiping Jesus. This is such a contrast with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. When the Magi asked around in Jerusalem to discover the whereabouts of this new king, we see in verse 4 and 5 that the chief priests and the teachers of the law knew the prophecy and knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. But what did they do about it? This was their promised Messiah. Why were they not seeking the new king? What would you or I have done if we were them? The Magi traveled hundreds of miles, but the Jewish religious leaders didn't even travel 7 miles up the road to go and at least investigate and see what these wise men were going to find. They seem to have just given Herod the answer, then carried on with their lives. It seems like they knew with their heads, but they weren't really seeking with their hearts. Their eyes were not open to see how God was moving right amongst them. And what about us? Are we open to see God at work among us? sometimes in and through the most unexpected people. God can surprise us with moments of grace, insight, and consolation in unexpected times and places. Maybe in the middle of yet another lockdown, when there's a lot of uncertainty and anxiety around. Are we seeking Jesus with eagerness like these magi? Or do we sometimes become apathetic and just get on with living our lives, not prioritizing, really seeking his presence and his kingdom? Thirdly, as well as these wise men being unexpected seekers after Jesus, there was a great deal of humility about the way they sought for him. As magi, they would have been important people in the country they were from, looked up to and relied on for giving advice to those in power. And yet, they recognized that this new king was something more important than their own wisdom. They came to Jerusalem having to ask for help and advice about where this baby would be born. And they came prepared to worship him, not looking for glory for themselves. It would have been easy for them, I think, to take offense when the star reappeared and they came to the house where he was with his mother, to have thought, what? This is such a small, humble house with this just regular kind of family, hardly any money, no fame. But they were overjoyed to have been led there, and they opened their treasures to present to him. The wise men didn't come just to admire the new baby. They came to acknowledge him as their king with their gifts and their worship. They didn't come for what they could gain from him. They came ready to give. And I always think the story ends so very abruptly when they came, they gave their gifts, and they went again. I was thinking, well, if you traveled all that way, you might at least want to hang around for a bit, take a couple of weeks to get a break, something like that. But they came, they gave their gifts, they worshipped him, and then they went back. They had given of their time, their energy, their resources, their very selves in their quest for Jesus. They let the Son of God interrupt their lives and call them to worship. In all the demands that we've got on our time, are we willing to make effort to make sure we carve out time to seek after God by spending time in his presence, reading, studying his word, listening to hear what he wants to say to us in our lives? There are lots of ways of doing this. Joy spoke about some of those last week. I've been using the Lectio 365 daily prayer app recently, and I found that really useful way of just taking that time in the morning to come into God's presence and to think and to pray, commit the day to him. For people who want to dig deeper, the Bible Project have got some great material online that you can look at if you want to go into different books of the Bible, different themes. And I know quite a few people who are going to be reading the Bible in 1 year this year, and there's lots of different material available for doing that as well, trying to get a bigger, wider perspective of God's story at work. But the story of the Magi is not the only story in the New Testament of people who were seeking Jesus outrageously. I love the stories of people who loved Jesus so much, or who were so desperate to experience Jesus and his intervention in their lives, that they behaved outrageously. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, shouting and hollering in the streets so much that everyone was telling him, shut up, will you? But he was desperately seeking Jesus. Was this the man who could heal him? The woman who was bleeding and continually unclean. She didn't have any right to be mixing in that crowd, and yet she went against social and religious conventions and reached out to touch Jesus, just the very edge of his cloak, because she recognized something special about him. Was he the one who could make a difference in her life? The group of friends who were seeking Jesus outrageously, not for themselves, but for their friend who was paralyzed and couldn't walk. They were so desperate to find Jesus that they made a hole in some guy's roof to drop their friend through. And probably my favorite, the woman who was so desperate to worship Jesus that she gatecrashed a very important party, gave away her most precious possession to pour perfume on Jesus's feet, and totally shocked all the respectable people at that party by wiping Jesus's feet with her hair. And these people, the outrageous Jesus seekers, who were willing to be countercultural and receive lots of criticism to find him, they received healing, acceptance, transformation, forgiveness, and love from Jesus. Church history is also full of people who were outrageous in their pursuit of Jesus. Just one example is John Wesley. I don't know how you spent New Year's Eve this year, but in 1739, John Wesley and his friends had an all-night prayer meeting in Fetter Lane in London. They knew they had to seek Jesus for themselves and for the nation. At 3 a.m., John Wesley recorded in his journal that the power of God came mightily on them, in so much that they cried out for exceeding joy. John Wesley went from that prayer room in London and went on to ride 125,000 miles on his horse around England, preaching the gospel. His brother Charles Wesley began writing hymns, over 600 of them. His friend George Whitfield crossed the Atlantic and was a part of the first great awakening in the United States. The world was changed through these outrageous Jesus seekers. And there are many extravagant Jesus seekers today. Some of them are people who live in countries where seeking Jesus can mean that you're cut off from your family, or are risking imprisonment, or even your life. Yet they know that finding Jesus is worth the risk. During our time in Congo, we worked on a water project in a town called Kikongo. This town was out in the sticks on a plateau with very little infrastructure around it. Yet today, there's a thriving hospital and pastor's training college there. We heard the story of how this center came to be in the 1920s, through one man who was outrageously seeking Jesus. His name was Meso Ngolo, which in the language of the area means strong eyes. Meso Ngolo may or may not have had strong eyes to see physically, but he had strong eyes to see spiritually. He heard that some Congolese missionaries had come from the west of Congo to the plateau, and that they were sharing good news about Jesus and God's love and forgiveness. They were also showing that this God cared about health and education and every aspect of people's lives. Meso Ngolo knew that he needed to seek for this Jesus. This was good news, which he and all the people from his village needed to hear. And so he began to outrageously seek Jesus. The missionaries were based many miles away, but Meso Ngolo knew that he needed to go and find them. He set out and walked a 10-day trek to find the missionaries and requested that a pastor be sent to Kikongo. He was told that no pastor could be spared at that moment. Meso Ngolo trekked the 10 days trek back to his village, But he wasn't going to give up quite so easily. And he kept on going back and he kept on asking until finally his request was granted and a Congolese pastor was sent to the area. When an American missionary went to visit the area the following year, there were 500 people gathered for the meeting. And 2 years later, there were 2,000 people and a church centre was established at Kikongo. And what about us? What would outrageously seeking Jesus look like for us this year? I think it'll look different for each one of us. If you don't yet know Jesus in your life and you aren't a follower of his, then seeking him could mean taking the risk of talking to God and asking him to come and show you his reality in your life. Maybe looking at the Bible, reading one of the Gospels to find out more about Jesus and who he was and what he did. Or doing something like an Alpha course to explore the Christian faith. We are going to be running an Alpha course later this term, an online Alpha course. So if you are interested in doing something like that, then you can contact the church office and find out more details about it. For those of us who already know Jesus in our lives, how do we carry on seeking to know more of Jesus and seeking first his kingdom? When we were in our last church, God called a couple of people to set aside time every Friday evening to come into his presence and to worship him. No agenda, just being in God's presence to bring our worship and see what he wanted to say. These people committed themselves to that, and whether there was just one person there or whether they were joined by 20 other people, they faithfully came into God's presence every Friday evening, and they knew God speaking into their lives and making a difference in the spiritual atmosphere around. This eventually led to Reading-wide worship, which is still carrying on now, online, of course, at the moment. Seeking Jesus for you might be as simple as getting up 15 minutes earlier in the morning to spend time with God, or asking him to give you a hunger for his word. It might be stepping out in obedience and doing that thing which God has been putting on your heart, but which you haven't been quite sure about or have been putting off. It might mean being called to travel hundreds of miles to another country, or it might mean just being willing to speak out courageously to share your faith with your friends at work. Are we ready to seek outrageously? And like Mesongolo and the wise men, go the extra mile or several hundred to seek Jesus and his kingdom? Are we ready to offer our treasures before Jesus? Do we lay before him the most precious things we have? Our money, our time, our talents, our reputation. One thing we can remember is that no matter how outrageously we seek after him, he has reached out to seek after us even more outrageously. And we, like the wise men, can know the joy of encountering him and seeing his kingdom come. Let's pray. Father, teach us, we pray, to seek after you. We thank you for that example of the wise men. And we pray that you would be showing each one of us what seeking after you outrageously might look like this year. In Jesus' name, amen.